Hi guys, set my timer there. Hi everyone. My name is Kim G. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from South Jersey Intergroup. That's right outside Philadelphia. Just to qualify, I've been in OA since June of 1994, so this is my anniversary month. But I've been abstinent and recovered since January of 2011, so a little bit of time there before I became recovered. My top weight was a size 24. However, I've also been the size I am now, a size 10, binging and purging and overexercising and bulimia. And I've also gotten down to a size 2 where I was lost my menstrual cycle and was losing my hair. So I have investigated all areas of this disease. And one of the things I think about was, why was I struggling those first 17 years? And the way that I describe it for myself is I disrespected a 12-step program by treating it like a diet program with group support. I disrespected a 12-step program by treating it like a tools-only program. And when I told you I was working my program, what I really meant was I was working people's opinions and slogans. And because of that, and because I'm the real compulsive overeater, I could not stay sober for any length of time without having to go back to the food. I became a student of the Big Book over 14 years ago in January 2011. That's where my recovery comes from. I'm going to basically stay on page 89 on the first page of working with others. But I think about just a little bit of history. When Bill Wilson recovered, he did not do the 12 steps. They didn't exist at the time. Ebbie Thatcher, his friend, came to him and they looked at this book called Varieties of Religious Experiences. And it is the only book that is mentioned in the Big Book. And what Bill really saw is that there were two qualities of this addiction. One is calamity. None of us come to OA because we're having a good day, so that makes sense, right? But the other one is that it's fleeting, meaning if I don't continue the work, I will return to the alcohol or the food or the drugs over and over. And the way that I create it over and over is by helping others. I remember hearing a speaker recently say one of the biggest problems we have in AA is that too many people in a 12-step program are working an 11-step program. So sponsorship is how we stay sober. I loved going through the steps. It was a great experience, but honestly, I didn't learn this book until I started teaching others. Even in college, before I was in OA, I remember always offering to help people study because if I could help you do the math problem, then I didn't need to study the math problem. Right? Because by teaching it, I was learning even better than just reading the book. So the way that I learned this book is by teaching this book. So we're going to get into here on page 80 and 89 with this little introduction. It talks about practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. There's a gentleman, Ernie Kurtz. He wrote a book on AA. Now, he is not a member of AA, but he was getting his, I think, his doctorate in history. And he decided to write his doctoral thesis on AA and he wound up making a book called Not God. And one of the things he talks about, I love how he talks about, like, the fact that he felt like AA grew a lot because of the depression and a lot of people were out of work and they had time to work with each other. One of the reasons he feels that AA spread so greatly in the 40s was World War I. You had these guys being drafted and they're being pushed all over the country and all over the world, and they were able to spread the message even faster. Thought that was interesting. But one of the things he talked about is that he feels that AA worships the first 100 too much, that it was a lot of their failures that taught them more. So I personally like to flip this sentence and say practical experience shows that those who don't work with others wind up eating again, wind up drinking again. People will often tell me I'm scared to sponsor. My response is I would be scared not to. Because those of us who do not sponsor wind up going back. The best way I can remember, like remember your last drunk's a big slogan. I used to try to remember my last drunk. It's been 14 years since I've had a bite. But you know what? When I work with people and I have to bring up my experience to teach them about the allergy, that's how I remember. Right. So by teaching this work, I remember who I am over and over again. And it says intensive work with alcoholics. I remember someone saying to me, if it's not convenient, if it is convenient, you're probably not doing enough. So just to give a little bit of comparison, I like the term working with others versus sponsorship. And I'll tell you why, because when I think of sponsorship, I think of my experience those first 17 years in OA. And what it was a sponsor was somebody who was a diet buddy and was a therapy coach. You know, when I heard that saying, find someone who has what you want and ask him or her how he or she is achieving it, what I did was look for the thinnest girl with the cutest boyfriend, because that's what I wanted. I wanted to be skinny and I wanted to get a boyfriend. And when I sponsored, I would be their life coach, telling them who to date or how to handle their marriages, even though I've never been married. I would tell them how to raise their kids, even though I never had children. And I'll tell you, I look at it now and I laugh because I'm admitting in step three that I can't manage my own life. And then in step 12, I'm trying to manage other people's lives. And that was exhausting. That's why sponsorship sucks so much, because I felt responsible for the world trying to take something over. And if we walk through this chapter working with others, all I'm doing is I'm giving them my experience working of the pages that we're reading, and that's because they have to have their own experience. You know, one of the stories I often tell is my dad, in New Jersey, you get your driver's license at 17. My birthday's in February. In March, I had my license for about a month. This is the 80s. So I'm working in a mall and I have a gunny sack dress. Remember those little prairie dresses that were popular in the 80s? And I go out to my dad's car and it's got a flat tire. So I call my dad. He comes to the mall. It's pouring rain and he holds an umbrella above my head while he makes me change the tire in my gunny sack dress. And people are walking out of the mall and they're laughing, and I'm so embarrassed. And I got home and I'm screaming at him because I'm so angry about this. And he just let me rant. And then when he stopped, he just looked at me and he said, "Kim, my job as a father is to become unnecessary." And I have to tell you, that is my mantra with being a sponsor. I was so dependent on my sponsor. I had to call her every single day. I wouldn't make a decision without her. She was my God. And I would do the same thing with other people, right? Now my job working with others is not to get them connected with me, is but to get them connected with a power greater than themselves. That's to me what working with others means. It says you can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember, they are very ill. Why can I secure my confidence with another compulsive overeater? Because I am just like them. I have this allergy of the body. I have this mental twist. Why can't I sponsor someone in AA? Because I'm not an alcoholic. Even though I know this big book inside and out, I don't share that addiction with somebody. So we have to work with the people within the addiction that we have, because I can secure their confidence. Then this next paragraph, you know, we often say the ninth step promises. Actually, I'll tell you a little story too. So I'm a numbers person, I'm an accountant. So I came into OA and we read the promises, the promises, the promises. And no one ever mentions they're the ninth step promises to me. And then I say, what do I do? What do I do? And I keep being told doing a 90 and 90, 90 meetings in 90 days, 90 meetings in 90 days. And I'm a good student, I'm doing my 90 meetings. But I'm hearing these promises say, you will be amazed before you're halfway through. I thought the promises started at day 45. And let me tell you, day 45 without the steps, those promises ain't coming true at all. So we often think about it, and those are the promises, but there are promises throughout this book. So let's look at some promises. These are the 12 step promises on page 89. Life will take on new meaning. You know, I think to myself, I remember years ago, a girl I sponsored, she's deceased now. But Memorial Day weekend, I'm a Jersey girl. You go down the shore. That's what you do. You go on the boardwalk, you eat candy, you know, candy taffy, you eat all the food on there. I'm in OA. I'm not going down the shore and eating on the boardwalk anymore. But I can still, you know, enjoy my shore time. But I get a phone call from a woman who wants us to do a workshop on the big book for all day workshop on Memorial Day weekend. Now, I am a Catholic school kid, 12 years of Catholic school. My friend who goes with me, she's was Southern Baptist and is now a staunch atheist. And we went to a synagogue in Westchester, New York, and we did a workshop for every woman there, I think, was Orthodox Jewish. and we had the time of our lives. That was the best Memorial weekend I ever had because we all were joined on the love of this book. I never had such a good time. So life will take on new meaning. I don't need those other things that used to give me thrills. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to watch someone's eyes open up. One of my favorite things is after a fifth step is hearing someone laugh for the first time. And if I can see them face to face, I do a lot of work on the phone, but if I can see them face to face, I can see their face relax. I used to do fifth steps at my house, and then I would go walk my dog for the hour after the fifth step, and I would come back, and it was like I was looking at a different person. Like, it's amazing to watch that, to see them help others. You know, I often talk about, like, when I remember I had 6 years of back-to-back abstinence, me and my sponsor. And I remember the moment I picked up. We went to lunch and we both were flour free. And she ordered a salad and it had tortilla chips on top. And I'm like, Maria, what are you doing with tortilla chips? She's like, oh, I decided it's white flour. It's not all flours. Oh, well, if my sponsor can do that, I started eating non-white flour and I was in relapse. I couldn't get abstinent for years after that. And then I get this spiritual awakening in 2001, and my old sponsor calls me and she's telling me how she's weighing and measuring M&Ms. And I can't help her. I'm her old sponsee. She's not gonna take this stuff from me. But I'm sharing with her what I'm doing. I'm asking God to be useful. How can I help the next person? Knowing I can't help her. Well, you know what happened? I helped someone who helped someone who helped her. And she's one of the strong people in my home group now. And let me tell you, the reality of this disease, though, is the two people between that, I haven't seen them in years. I don't think they made it. So that's why we want to work with people as much as possible to see that, you know, to watch loneliness vanish, the fellowship grow up about you. For me personally, this is what it is. I have mentors ahead of me that are my mentors. I have people side by side who are people that work through the steps at the same time I did. And then I'm helping the people behind me. And if I do those three things, I have a fellowship that's around me. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent contact with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. I mean, that is so real. That is such a reality. I mean, I think of what OA did when the pandemic happened and how we flipped to Zoom and how dedicated people were. So now I have a fellowship that doesn't just happen around South Jersey. I got people around the world. You know, I remember having a sponsee that was having, she worked the third shift. She worked 11 p.m. to 7 a.m. in Virginia. She was a nurse. And 2 o'clock, when everyone else took their breaks and she was having a hard time with the food, she's not calling me 2 o'clock in the morning. But you know what? She found a fellow in Israel that it was 8 o'clock in the morning on that time. And they have that fellowship around you. So I want you to expand what this idea of sponsorship is. Yes, there's people I take through the steps, but what about when, you know, again, I haven't been to a live meeting in years, but I used to, when I went to live meetings, I never made plans for at least an hour after the meeting, just in case someone needed to talk. You know, now with these chats, if you're seeing someone going in there and they're saying they need help, are you calling them? You know, if you don't have room for a sponsee and someone is struggling with defining abstinence, offer to take them through the doctor's opinion. If someone's confused about that fourth column in the resentment inventory, have a conversation with them. Now, when I do that, I'm not sponsoring them, but I do consider that working with them because that's what I'm doing. If someone's struggling with 10 and 11, if someone has sponsorship questions, the focus on the steps is what we're doing. So I like to think of that working with others as being much more than the people I happen to take through the steps. That last paragraph on 89, it says, perhaps you're not acquainted with any drinkers who want to recover. There's an AA speaker, Kent C. I love him. And he said, you know, people often ask me how many people am I sponsoring? And my honest answer is about half of them. Because the fact is, most people don't want to do the work. Right. So if you're here and you're not recovered, when you go to sponsorship workshops, ask yourself, are you sponsorable? You know, are you willing to put the food down? Are you willing to take a direction? Because I offer to work with a lot of people, but not a lot of people want to be work. You know, again, I have some podcasts out. People want to talk to the podcast Kim G. They sure as hell don't want to talk to the sponsor Kim G. You know, there's a line there that says, go to any lengths. You ask any suffering compulsive overeater, they will say yes to that until you ask them to do something. You know, and once, but that's why you have to, when you, I always tell my sponsees, when you start sponsoring, is to be clear on what you require. And there's no right or wrong answer. The path is the 12 steps, but we all have different personalities. So are you going to require writing, phone calls? How do you want to handle the food? Do you want them to commit it daily? You know, you want them to text you, email you with changes? Like, how do you want to handle that? Because that's what a sponsee is agreeing to. And if they're not willing to do that, it doesn't mean you're firing them. It means they're making a decision not to do the work. You know, if I said, oh my God, I can't believe it, my employer fired me. What happened? I didn't show up for work like 7 days last month. And for some reason, that's not acceptable. Right? So it's not really fired as much as asking, are you sponsorable? And I don't blame people. You know, the big book tells us specifically we're going to pick up in 4 into 5, 9 and 12. So I'm not surprised when people pick up. The book tells me we have to go to step back to step one to review. A lot of people don't want to do that. You know, I always remember this one girl. We went through the doctor's opinion and I asked her if she was willing to put all the food down. This was in, I think it was in January. And it was like crickets. And the next thing she said was, maybe I'll call you after Girl Scout cookie season is done. And I thought to myself, I get it. Why would you get abstinent when Girl Scout cookie season's happening? Right? But the book tells me I cannot work with you through the steps if you're not abstinent. Again, I want to differentiate that, right? I think sometimes we think, well, my sponsor, I can't stop eating, and my sponsor is dropping me. We cannot take someone through the steps if they're not abstinent. However, you can be supportive to that person. You can have conversations with that person, but you can't take them through the steps. So sometimes I think it's this idea that we're not going to talk to people that are in relapse, and we're not going to, talk. No, that's not what that is. But as far as you having going through the steps and having a spiritual experience, until you're willing to put that food down, I can't sponsor you through the steps, but I could definitely be a support system to you. So ask yourself, simple things like, are you a morning person, an evening person, or afternoon person, right? Because I don't sponsor in the morning because I can't pay attention, right? So, find out, like for example, with me, because of my experience talking to a sponsor every day and them becoming my God, I don't talk to people every day. That's why I want phone calls, because I want them to build up that fellowship around them, and I don't want them to be dependent on me. Again, with what my dad said, my job is to become unnecessary. Some people like to talk on now on Zoom. Some people only want to do face to face. Some people want to do. For me personally, I like 1/2 hour appointments because over an hour I start to not pay attention anymore. Whereas other people like the intensity of an hour. I had a sponsee that was had a dis yeah has a, had a chronic illness, and she worked with somebody every single day for like an hour and a half, and she would get people through the steps in like 3 weeks. I could never do that, but thank God there's people that do that. You know, that's one of the things I think is wonderful is like I hear people say, drop someone after they pick up 3 times. I don't think that it's 1, 2, or 3. The question is, can you be useful to them? And what is so beautiful about our fellowship is we have such a variety of personalities so we can be more useful. If everybody sponsored just like me, we would be very limited who we could help, right? So we all have different personalities, but the path is the same. It's the 12 steps. Again, my job is to get someone to have their get a relationship with power, not a relationship with me. And I think I'm almost at 19 minutes, but I think that's all I have to say. So I hope that was helpful to people. And with that, I pass.